Praise God. You can turn to the book of Romans, please.
We are on the series of To Be Led by the Holy Spirit. We attach on the five sensations of the inward witness in two parts. And from the inward witness, as we learn to be obedient, we will progress to the inward voice. The inward voice is the voice of the spirit man. It's not the voice of the Holy Spirit, which we will also touch on. But it's a voice of the human spirit that works in our lives. And it sounds, the sounds of the human spirit, the voice of the human spirit, the sensations are sensed. And the voice of it vibrates upon the subconscious and the conscious corridors of our mind. Let me illustrate. See, the sounds that we speak come forth from the air comes from our diaphragm. Our diaphragm pushes the air, and the air vibrates through the vocal cords and is formed into articulate sounds by our lips, our teeth, our tongue, and our face. And so we realize that a word or our human natural voice is formed through an intricate setup. As we look at the voice of the human spirit, when he begins to speak, will bring forth understanding to our soul and to our spirit. I'm not talking about a human spirit talking directly to God. That is in tongues. We know that the human spirit does speak to God. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Yet, for the human spirit to speak forth, notice Paul says, I will. I will. Now the human soul consists of three areas. One is our intellect. Second, it's our emotions. That's a part of us that feels. See, when somebody speaks a word that is perhaps too strong or sharp, you feel hurt. That's not your body. Words does not hurt the body, but it hurts the soul, the emotion. That is your soul. The second area of your soul is your emotions. The third area is volition, the part of us that chooses the I will. I will or I will not. The part of us that chooses. The human spirit consists of three areas too. One area is called the conscience. Another area is communion. And the third area is intuition. And these three areas function together when the inward witness is operating. Communion, intuition, and conscience are operating together. And they are the basis of the functions of the human spirit. The human spirit, before the human spirit can be released out into the physical realm, where, for example, if we speak in tongues, it's our spirit speaking, yet we realize that it is our voice that is being used. So somehow, between the spirit and the physical realm, there must be bypassing of the soul. There must have been. Praise God. Here we go again. Praise God, brother. Raj, and you like to come right up. And Timothy, yes. And so here, 1, 2, 3. Praise God. Since you look different, we put it as a human spirit. So, a human spirit, the human soul, and a human body. Praise the Lord. And so the human spirit would communicate to God according to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15. Or the human spirit will want to communicate to God. We realize that when the human spirit speaks forth, the human spirit receives utterance from the Holy Spirit. And so the human spirit communicates to God, but it ends up in our body. When we pray in tongues, it's our voice, it's our lips, it's our tongues moving to articulate the words that are given unto us. So somehow, between the spirit and the body, the human spirit must have touched the soul. For there's no way we can affect our body without affecting the soul. There is no way God in the spirit realm will affect the body without passing through the soul area. It's just like for example, if there are, this is a platform, all right, and this is the aisle area, and all around the platform, and there are the seats. There is no way you can get to the platform without getting through the aisle. Whether the airspace of the aisle or the aisle itself, you have to pass by the aisle. There's no way you could bypass it. And so God places the human soul inside the human body. And then God places the human spirit inside the human soul. There is no way you could touch the spirit without touching the soul. And vice versa. There's no way the spirit can touch the body without passing through the soul. It is, in essence, an impossibility. It's not possible. It must always pass through the soul. So when we pray in tongue, there is an area that passes through the soul. Our will. Paul says, I will pray in an unknown tongue. I will pray with my understanding. I will pray in the spirit. I will. Do you know this? He said, I will. His human soul chooses. His human soul chooses to allow the spirit to get to him, the body. So spirit, soul, and body. So for the spirit to get to the body, the soul must choose. So there's no way some of us are going to say, if God wants me to pray in tongues, He will make me do it. He won't. He won't. Free choice. Then the question is us, what about when the anointing of God operates and we sense a tangible anointing that affects what we call the five senses of the... affects our five senses? What is happening? Has there been a bypassing? No. Because you still choose to yield. By worshipping God, and by choosing to spend time with Him, you have positioned yourself for your human spirit and God's spirit work through your human spirit to bypass and to pass through the soul area and touch and affect your body to give you the sensations. See, the choice is still involved. The will is still involved. At the same time, let's say I'm representing the Holy Spirit here. There is no way the Holy Spirit is going to work without passing through your human spirit. No shortcuts. There is no way. The human spirit will always be the avenue by which the Holy Spirit passes through. See, there is an orderly world we're talking about in the spirit realm. And so, when the human spirit wants to bring forth a understanding to the human soul so that we could get our body into obedience, the human spirit would have to somehow communicate to the intellect, somehow communicate to the emotions, somehow communicate to the will, the soul area. Right? Thank you, gentlemen. You may go back. Praise God. And let's look at Genesis chapter... Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. The human soul came into being because of the spirit man. Because of the implantation of the Spirit within man. Let's read in Genesis chapter 2. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. The Hebrew word says, and man became a living soul. See, the soul came into being as a result of the work of the Spirit. When God's Spirit contacts human flesh, there is a creation of a soul. Man became, there was a creation, a living soul. So having understood that, the place and position of the soul is to be a means of communication between the spirit realm and the physical realm. Let me repeat that. We say all those things in order to draw this conclusion. Right, and this is the conclusion, boldface, underline, reflecting light, that the soul was created as the primary communication point between the body of physical realm and the spirit realm. Can you say that after me? Say the soul was created to be the communication realm between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. Having the understanding, we can now read Romans, which I believe you probably have found it by now. Now, the book of Romans, chapter 8, was where we led off in the title series, How to be Led by the Spirit of God. In verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. But we realize that chapter 8 was built upon chapter 7. Chapter 8 is built on chapter 7. And even the chapter 7, it talks about the struggle of the soul. Then in the first part of chapter 8, it has reference to the importance of being led by the Spirit. I'll read carefully here. And it says in verse 1 and 2 of Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's so important. Let me read the first 11 verses very quickly, if you follow along in your Bible. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now he introduces the subject. He's introducing the subject that Romans chapter 8 verse 14 tells us, those who are led, those who walk in the Spirit, those who are led by the Spirit, those who are walking in the Spirit, these are the sons of God. So notice in verse 4, he's introducing the subject. He's saying, walking in the flesh contrasts with walking in the Spirit. Right? He's talking about walking in the flesh first, before he moves into walking in the Spirit. Now let's continue in verse 4, not miss the context. And it says, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He's introducing the subject of being led by the Spirit of God. Then he goes on quickly to verse 5, and suddenly he begins talking about the mind. Do you see that? The very next scripture, he starts talking about the mind. Tell me, what is the connection between the mind and walking in the Spirit? A whole lot. Because the mind, which is part of the soul, is created as a communication center between the spirit realm and the physical realm. And there's no way we are going to be led by the Spirit, we are going to walk in the Spirit, unless our mind is renewed. That is the purpose of him mentioning about the carnal mind, enmity against God, against the spiritual mind. Why does he mention all these? Why does he put those scriptures in? Because he's associating the importance of the mind and the thought life to being led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. See, for those who live according to the flesh, in verse 5, set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, he's talking about him dwelling in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now notice the context of it was he's talking about how to be led by the Spirit. He leads up to verse 14 where he says, for those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So what we are seeing here is that he is pointing to the importance of what goes on in the mind, the thought life, the soul realm, in reference to walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God. What has the mind? Why is it so important? See, our mind was originally created to be spiritualized and not carnalized. Our mind was originally created to function as one to the spirit realm. But somehow, after the fall of Adam, where the mind has been darkened, which begins the subconscious and the conscious mind, that we touch on the second service in the last Sunday of the month, how the mind reached its states that it is in. But as we look into this aspect of the mind that God has created, in its original sinless state, it was a perfect avenue into the spirit realm. Since the fall, it was not. Now notice our mind can be a focus only for natural things, or it can be a focus for spiritual things. Paul himself says that. You could dwell on natural and carnal things and it produced death. Right now, the liberty we feel in our spirit depends a lot on the level of our thoughts. If we dwell on physical, earthly things with our mind, there is a heaviness and a force of gravitational force that seems to pull our whole life down. But when we dwell our mind upon the things of God, peace, joy, liberty, a lightness comes upon our life. So our mind is like being pulled two ways since the fall of man. Either or. And our mind, because of its purpose, it functions, let me repeat, our mind functions as a receiver of things in the spirit realm. To a certain extent, it still has an element of that. Let me give an example from your experience. When Satan tempts you, how do you hear his temptations? Satan and demons are spirit beings. They are not flesh and blood. How do you hear their temptations? Everybody here has been tempted in some way, haven't they? Anybody here has become glorified? Right? Everybody knows what temptation is. Anybody does not know what temptation is? Praise the Lord. Just want to make sure. Everybody knows what temptation is. When the temptation came, how did you hear it? Thoughts. Thoughts. Temptations come from the enemy's realm, spirit realm, spirit being. Have you ever wondered, how is it possible that demons and Satan could affect the thought life, which is a part of the soul, not a part of the spirit? Our mind and our thoughts are a part of our soul. How is it that spirit realm is affecting us in a negative stream? Because our mind was created as a communication point between the physical realm and the spirit realm. Satan knows that and he tries to infiltrate. He tries to intercept. And it's just like those people who are broadcasting the good news into communist lands. And the communists find out, you know what they do? Since the radio stations are tuned to receive that frequency, they try to broadcast on the same frequency. They either cancel you out and you hear nothing, or you end up hearing them. So Satan tries to come at this frequency and affect our thought life in order to block us from hearing God. We can easily show from the scripture how when people fell, like in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, when they chose to tell a lie in deception for self-glorification, as they stood, or they were before Peter, and Peter said, is this all the money that you have sold the land for? And he says, yes. And he says, you're lying. This is only part of it. If you had sold it, you're not given, it will have been yours. But since you gave it, you tell a lie for whatever reasons. The judgment of God is on him. But this is a statement made by Peter in Acts 5. That, let's read in Acts 5. In verse 3 and 4, it says, and announce why Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. Notice he conceived it in his heart. It was a thought. Ananias and Sapphira may not even have known that that thought, the deceptive thought, came from Satan. They may not even have known. But it's the thoughts. The thoughts. The wrong thoughts. The wrong broadcast station they were listening to that caused them to fall. Acts 8, please. Acts chapter 8, in the case of Simon, who was a born-again Christian, but he was not very matured in God, and he still had some carnality in him. It's possible to be a Christian and still be carnal. In chapter 8, when he asked for power, wanting to pay for the power, Peter says in verse 20, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God should be could be purchased with money." And that's a wonderful stand. No, Peter says, no, get rid of your money. It means nothing in the spirit realm. Let me repeat that. Money may be a means of doing the ministry work, but it's worthless when it's carnal. When it's carnal. And in the world, it could be the most important thing outside to the people of the world, and not in the kingdom of God. So Peter says, you keep your money. God's power is not that way. But he made this statement and says, why have you taught? See, it is his taught life that was still not renewed. He says here, because you taught. The wrong thoughts were the cause of his problem. And he even says in verse 23, you are still in bondage. You are bound by iniquity and poisoned by bitterness. He is a born-again Christian. He was baptized in water by Philip. So he is born again, but his taught life was still causing bondages in his life. The thoughts caused the downfall. And of course we know 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to God in pulling down strongholds, arguments, reasoning, and bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, we are given in our scriptures to show that it's the taught life that Satan infiltrates. And he is a spirit being. So bad thoughts, evil thoughts come from the enemy. Sometimes good thoughts and good ideas that are actually bad, cloth in, like wolf in sheep's skin, and he tries to make it good by stealing from the enemy. All those bad thoughts are from him. And the wonderful thing is that we must realize that some good thoughts, revelational thoughts, come from the spirit realm, from God. If bad thoughts come from the enemy, then where do good thoughts come from? Myself. Right, most people think. They leave God out of the picture. They totally leave God out of the picture. No, there are three involved. There is the devil, there is us, and there is the Father God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are right there. So some of our thoughts come from the enemy. Some of our thoughts come from ourselves. We have the ability to think our own thoughts. To dig into the resources of our experience and bring those thoughts. We have the ability. Like, you know, all we have to do is talk about buffet.
And straight away, coming to your mind is a picture of lovely food, right? That is caused by the soul. I just mentioned it, and it's affecting your soul. And sooner or later, you talk too long about that, it affects your saliva. So I will not dwell on that. And it affects you. Let's say like, if I mention to you and say, you know, think about the sour ball, Seng Boi. Ah, your lips go, and the saliva starts dropping, right? And that's for Eastern, Asians, right? For Westerners, they don't like that taste. And Seng Boi, sour ball, right? And if I mention to you right now, how your saliva is always dripping, and do you know that sometimes you got to swallow your saliva when you're conscious of it, but when subconsciously the saliva is, you know, dripping and irrigating your throat area, right? And I remember when I was small, every time I think about it, I had to keep swallowing. You know, the saliva keep dropping. But I hope I don't start doing that to you. But when you forget about it, it just, you know, I don't know how our body takes care of it, but it takes care of it. But these are thoughts that are caused by the soul. I purposely mention it so it starts affecting you. So thoughts can come from the soul realm. It's generated by us, generated by fellow men, right? Then there are real thoughts that come from the spirit realm of God. Those thoughts that come from the spirit realm of God are revelation thoughts, and they will revolutionize your life. They are always good thoughts, pure thoughts, powerful thoughts. One thought from God can set you free. One revelation from God, one revelation truth, just one thought can keep you going. And the wonderful thing is people do not realize the role of their mind in the spirit realm. See, the mind is to function as a receiver. It's a receiving station. It's also a transmitting station. That's another topic altogether. Since we're concentrating on how to be led by the spirit, we focus on the mind as a receiving station. And it receives frequencies in the thought realm. And we need to tell the difference between the thoughts. The problem is not in the receiving so much as in the discerning. For God will be speaking all the time. And by now you would have reached this conclusion that the inward witness is the soft and gentle thoughts that rise up from your spirit to your intellect, to your soul. The sound and the voice of the inward voice of your human spirit is like a gentle thought. You hear it as a thought. Like right now, if we were to be quiet, we could listen to our own inner voice speaking. Sometimes I do that. But that's more our soul churning it. Right? You could sort of think to yourself. Like right now, I could keep quiet, not speaking anything. But inside me, I could say, the Lord is good. I say that 5 times inside. Now, we hear something, right? Inside us. Try that, right? Just close your eyes for a moment and say, Jesus is Lord, about 5 times inside quietly. You know, seal your lips, gum, you know, don't move your lips, don't move your physical being, but just inside. Five times. And you hear something inside, right? That is roughly what the inward voice will sound like. It's from the inside coming out. From the inside bubbling forth. The inward voice is a thought that bubbles from within us. And we need to differentiate because there are also external thoughts and internal thoughts. We need to differentiate between them. And also we need to differentiate thoughts that we cause ourselves. So the problem and the key is to differentiate the three. What thoughts are from the enemy, what thoughts are from ourselves, what thoughts are from God. When I first discovered the importance of thought life, it was when reading the scriptures And I came across that scripture in 1 Corinthians 2. Shall we look at 1 Corinthians 2? Verse 11. For one man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that are that have been freely given to us, that we might know. And notice he says, the things which is from the Spirit, freely given to us by God, we might know them. How do we know them? These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing the spiritual things with spiritual. Now obviously he's talking about hearing things from the spirit realm. See, the things which the Spirit teaches, he's talking about receiving in the spirit realm. And we realize that the inward witness cannot teach. There are only five sensations. It doesn't teach you. But the inward voice teaches us. The voice of the human spirit teaches us. Teaches us a lot of things. The Holy Spirit teaches too, but we're talking first about the human spirit. Then look at verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And his conclusion is powerful. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Then he quickly turns around and says, but we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ operating in us. And the paraphrase version, it's not a very accurate version, but once in a while you get some verses that render very beautifully. By other times, it just render out of context. Like Paul Storm, they're going to put sickness, but the word sickness is not in the Greek. But otherwise, the paraphrase version in 1 Corinthians 2, it mentions this in verse 16. Who knows, who has known the thoughts of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the thoughts of Christ. So the thoughts of Jesus are occurring to us. The thoughts of Jesus are being implanted from our spirit into our soul. We are receiving thoughts. See, sometimes people talk as if they only know the devil's voice. So the devil has been after me all day long. What did he tell you? Oh, he told me to do this. He told me to do that. He told me to do this. He told me to do that. Morning he told me this. Afternoon he told me that. Evening he told me that. Seemed to be a very good friend of the devil. Didn't God tell you anything? No, I only hear him. The devil. Sometimes people say, you know, devil has been after me all day long. Bless his holy name. I know they don't mean that. But sometimes the way they talk, that's what they're doing. Right? Glorifying the devil. And we should be blessing God's name. But those people say it so fast. They don't mean it. They mean bless God's name. But subconsciously, that's what they're doing. They're listening to the devil. And isn't it strange that the majority of people can tell when the devil tempts them, but they cannot tell when God speaks to them, when the human spirit speaks to them? You ask any Christian Tom, Christian Dick, and Christian Harry, and he says, do you know when the devil tempts you? They will say, yes. Do you know when God speaks to you? Sometimes. Isn't it funny? We are slanted the wrong way. And the opposite is true. When somebody comes and said, I sense the Lord speaking to me in this, I sense the Lord speaking that, we think that person is weird, oddball, screw gone loose, extremist, fanatic. But when people say, the devil told me this, they say, oh yeah, my sympathies are with thee.
We should live in a realm where we recognize God's thoughts as easily as we recognize the devil's temptation. Where we have the thoughts of God occurring to us. When I began to realize this truth, from morning till night, I record every thought that occurred to me. And at the end of the day, I would sit down and look at it and say, alright, these ones are from the enemy. These ones are from myself. These others probably from God. Let me check further. So at the end of the day, I will go through my thoughts, analyze them, screen to them, until I began to detect and recognize, alright, these are the thoughts from God. How did it feel like when it came? How did it go? How did it feel? Was it really bubbling from inside? And through time you train yourself to know the difference between a thought occurring inside and a thought occurring outside. You could feel the difference very great. Just as some people, if they're tone deaf, they cannot tell a C and a D. Right? You play C, you play D, they don't know the difference. Tone deaf, cannot hear. But you play C and maybe a chord further up like G, then they could tell a difference. Not trained to differentiate finer things. And so in the same way, we need to be trained to differentiate between the sounds or thoughts, inner silent thoughts that come, inaudible thoughts that come from the inside and thoughts from the outside. And it's very obvious when a thought is from the outside. It sounds very different from the thoughts that are from the inside. Basically, we have reached this conclusion this morning, proving from the scriptures that the inward voice that we hear are thoughts that are from the human spirit. The human spirit communicates to us what he receives from the Holy Spirit, and it communicates to our soul, and we hear it as thoughts. Those thoughts can occur anytime. And we're going to focus more on this area. Before we go on, I just want to leave these points with you so that you could be shielded and protected. There are certain ways and certain keys in order to guard and help us discern which thoughts are from God, which thoughts are from the enemy. Right? Number one, right, just list it down. We'll teach all this in more greater detail as we go along, but just list it down. Number one, you can ask the question, is it in line with the Word? That's your first check, the Word. Is it in line with the Word of God? If it's in line with the Word of God, then you at least come through a second phase. Number two, does it glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Any thoughts that originate from God has one sole purpose, to bring glory to Jesus. That is why sometimes I hear people's ideas. You know, in the kingdom of God, sometimes people try to do God's spiritual work in soul ideas. And I sometimes hear people bringing good ideas, but I pick up in my spirit that the end of it has a little element of self-glorification, so it cannot be from God. I refuse such an idea. No matter how good, I will not move into that. I want to make sure that it's from the Spirit. For anything that is not born of the Spirit will not be blessed by the Spirit. Only what is born of the Spirit will be able to continue in the power of the Spirit. What is born of the soul is soul. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And that's the only thing that God looks for in eternity. So number two, does it glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Number three, is it in line with the nature of God? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. For against such there is no law. And Galatians talks about leaning by the Spirit too. The context of the fruit of the Spirit is so that we will be led by the Spirit. If you read Galatians chapter 5, you notice the context is walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. He was contrasting the two. Then he talked about the fruit of the Spirit against the works of the flesh. See, don't miss the context. The context is being led by the Spirit. So number three, Is it in line with the nature of God, with the fruit of the Spirit? If you have a thought that causes you sleepless nights and that continue to take away your peace and torment you, no matter how good it sounds, it's not from God. I would not accept it was from God. And these are also areas that you could check for deception, but we are specifying for this area. Number four, is it from the inside or from the outside? Now, some people find it hard to differentiate still, but if you grow in God, you can differentiate. See, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and the devil is outside. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He is in the world. And through time, you will be able to differentiate between inner thoughts and outer thoughts. They are. If you're not aware of them, then the moment I mention it, you can start being aware of them. There is a difference between thoughts that strike from the outside and thoughts that strike from the inside. There is a difference. We experience, we can pick it up. We can pick it up. We can differentiate through training. So is it from the inside or is it from the outside? That's another area for us to differentiate the thoughts of God. And number three, does it produce fear or does it produce faith? Any word from God, any rhema you hear, has to produce faith. God's rhema always produces faith. The devil's word always produces fear. That is some consistent thing you can find. Consistent. In the first place, let's say Ananias and Sapphira, if they receive the thought from the enemy, it cannot even cross point one. They know it's wrong to tell a lie. Right? They were throwing out in the first place if they got this check. What about our friend Simon the magician in Acts 8? Self-glorification. It would not even have passed the second point. Does it glorify Jesus? It does not. He was thinking of himself. He wanted to purchase it with money. So with all these checks, it helps us. Is it from the inside or is it from the outside? And then we say, does it produce faith or does it produce fear? Fearful thoughts. A sub point to this point is that he that believeth shall not make haste. Hasty thoughts are also fearful and anxious thoughts. And they are not from God. If you have a thought that bombards you like a submachine gun, do this, the Holy Spirit doesn't push. Never in the Bible it says those who are pushed by the Spirit, they are sons of God. The Holy Spirit does not push. And I know God well enough that He's gentle. And the devil's thoughts in this point are like this. The devil would come and say, do this, you know, get into this venture, and you know, quickly, rush, and you try to delay and it keep pressing you. But the Spirit's thoughts are gentle. You say, phone this person up, then you ignore it. Doesn't disturb you. 2 hours later, it floats up again. Phone this person up. That's my experience with him. Then you don't do anything. 3 hours later, now the others are not in consequence, right? But I'm talking about the long time gap. Comes up, phone this person up. Then you refuse. You didn't obey, or sometimes it's so quiet that we just ignore it in the midst of other noises, like train passing by. And then, at night before you sleep, he reminds you, phone this person up. And the inward voice works with the inward witness. They are one. The sensations will confirm. That's how gentle he is. I've known God sometimes to stretch an instruction for 1 month. And because we want to check, we want to make sure it's from God. And I've known God to stretch his repeated commands. He could repeat about 5 times in 1 month. That's all. It just bubbles forth. Then it subsides. It doesn't talk to you again. He's so patient. His patience amazes me. And so that is in line with the point where it should produce faith and not fear, and it is patient and not hasty. It is in line with that point. Because he that believeth, he that walk in faith, is not hasty. Is at rest in God. And these are points that I'm throwing out so that it could keep you until the next week as you experiment with your thought life. But mind you, your thought life is very important. You could use it, if you understand how is it functioning, you could use it in a tremendous way to spot the enemy. See, if I move into an area where there are a lot of demons, straight away I pick it up. Not necessarily be an open vision, but just by a soul trained to be sensitive to the spirit realm, you could pick up. And if you walk in a place with a lot of angels, you could pick it up. Because the soul is trained and sensitized to the spirit realm. You're aware and you're yielding your soul not to the carnal realm, but to the spirit realm. You could pick it up in the spirit. So those points are to just keep you until we could have time and continue the next Sunday. Praise the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you for your word. We ask, O God, that you continue to establish us in your word. Father, we realize the power of the thought realm. We realize the purpose of the mind, why you created the mind, to be a communication force, a communication center between the spiritual realm and the physical realm. We ask, O God, that you would cause an end to carnal mindedness. And you will cause, O God, every thought in this place, operating in every mind and every heart right now, to be subject and brought into obedience to Jesus Christ. We ask, O God, for a sensitiveness to understand, to perceive and hear and discern your thoughts that you flood our spirit man with. We thank you, Father God, for your grace in our lives. Glorify Jesus in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Lord, I will. Lord, I will. I will love you. I will praise you, Lord. I will. I have made up my mind to live by your word, Lord, I will. Lord, I will. Praise God, give Jesus a clap offering. God bless.